All right, and we are live. Welcome back to for another episode of From College to Combine. I am one of your hosts, Michael Ciccoli, joined here as always with Riley Millette, microphone in hand. How are you doing today?
I'm good.
You're never a man of many words, I found. I feel like I really have to pull teeth from you. It's a little bit disappointing.
I'm good. I mean, I'm good.
You're okay. You're the worst. You are like that player interview after the game that just like thanks the game plan and moves on, you know? Like Super Bowl win.
Got to trust my coach. I mean, I knew all along that we were going to come away with the win in this one. So, you know, I'm really just happy to be a part of it.
Okay, fine. You know what? That's the exact type of excitement that I want people to have going into an amazing show because we had the NFL draft last week. You know, I don't know if you remember that, Riley. I don't know if anybody remembers that.
No,
okay. You're very difficult to work with, I'll tell you that. But hold on one second. I'm hearing a little bit of echo, Riley. But neither here nor there, obviously. We have a good show. I'll tell you that, though. Because today we're going to break down the NFL draft, but through a fantasy lens, because that's what we care about here. So we're going to talk about, we're going to do a rookie draft and a little bit differently. So we don't spam for hours and hours. We're going to limit ourselves and definitely limit ourselves. We're going to hold us to this, especially you, Riley, with your mouth, you know, given how long you clearly talk. 60 seconds. We're going to go through the first two rounds of a 12-team, 1QB mock draft, 24 picks, 60 seconds per pick. That is going to be coming up soon. But first, we are going to have to talk about the news of the week, which was obviously the two big draft day trades. Before we do that, I want to also thank our host for frequency's sake. Follow them on Twitter at FFSQC. Amazing guys, amazing content. You're here for a reason. And obviously, I also have to thank IDP guys, where I was on the live show last week. I write for them. I have produced some video content. They are great guys as well. If you are interested in IDP, if you're interested in offense, follow IDP guys on Twitter. They are a terrific group. Join our Discord. It's a lot of fun. Absolute insanity. And now we can get into the news of the week. Let's start with the Titans trade of AJ Brown, downgrading in size from a Titan to an Eagle, and so did his fantasy value. How do you feel about that draft day trade for you?
As a guy who's never been totally in on Jalen Hurts, like I know you aren't, I feel like I would have hated this trade more than I do, but they can have continued to add to their offense. I'm a big Devontae Smith believer. Dallas Goedert is slowly becoming a really good player. And, you know, AJ Brown is just going to add such an outstanding offense to that team. And given how they ended their year last year with, you know, running the ball a lot, it'll be interesting to see how big of a passing offense this becomes with a true alpha receiver now in the fold. I will still be drafting AJ Brown probably as a top 10 receiver. Will.
We'll get into that. Keep going.
I think AJ Brown is a top five talent in terms of wide receiver in the entire league. And I think Jalen Hurts is good enough to support that. It's a little bit of a knock for Devontae Smith. It's a slight knock for Dallas Goedert. It's a knock for some of the tertiary running backs that they have, you know, like Kenneth Gainwell and the likes of them. But I still believe in AJ Brown as a fantasy option.
You know, I still believe in AJ Brown. I don't believe in Jalen Hurts, and I'm going to have to react accordingly. AJ Brown is not a top 10 receiver. That is something he was before. He is no longer now. He goes from a team that, you know, that a team that didn't really pass the ball a lot to another team that doesn't really pass the ball a lot. The biggest difference is that now he has target competition and he has a much worse quarterback. That's the difference. That's what changes. All of a sudden, he has Devonta Smith on the other side as opposed to, you know, Nick Akil Bakin. You know, like it's tough for me to pronounce that name because that's the number two target that was on the Titans last year. And even then, he also struggles to stay on the field. I'm not drafting him in the top 10 because I barely was before. As much as I love him, it's tough to take him in the top 10. And then I'm talking redraft purposes, 2022. You know, Dynasty, I trust the talent. But in terms of production for this coming season, everything dipped. Jalen Hurts is not a good enough quarterback. He has zero excuses now. Jalen Hurts is obviously a big push for him. I think ultimately this is good Devonta Smith, but this is a very run-first team. There's not a lot to go around. Dallas Goedert's not a nobody. Devonta Smith's not a nobody. A.J. Brown will get his, but if it's 20%, 22% of a really small pie, it's going to be really hit or miss.
Yeah, that's all fair. I still believe in his touchdown big play upside. And Jalen Hurts' ability to support that kind of play has been shaky, to say the least, in his NFL career. But I think he lacked a talent like A.J. Brown to help him complete those plays. So I still believe in A.J. Brown. He's such a good wide receiver. He's in his prime age right now, and I'm ready to bet on this offense.
It's only going to happen if Jalen Hurts takes a step worthy of an extension. Jalen Hurts threw. Do you know how many touchdowns he threw last year? I want you to take a guess for me.
How many games did he play?
Jalen Hurts suited up. I thought it was for every game, but he suited up for 15 games.
15 games, okay.
He missed a game against the Jets and Dallas.
Okay, I would say that he threw 25 touchdowns, we'll say.
See, and that is why you're taking A.J. Brown in the top 10, and I am not, because he threw 16. He threw 16 touchdowns. Now, that number will go up. That number will go up with second year, Devonta Smith second year, Dallas Goedert fully entrenched, and obviously A.J. Brown's addition. That number will go up to around that 24 mark, I think. I think that's a good number for him. But if that's it, if A.J. Brown's scoring 6 touchdowns on the year, he's not going to support you for fantasy, given where you're going to have to take him in your fantasy drafts. He's a buy for me in Dynasty, especially once he starts having 2 points, 20 points, 2 points, 15. But redraft purposes, I'm still going to stick away. Okay. And we can go to the other draft night trade. Marquise Brown is no longer a Raven. He swapped it for another bird. That would be the Cardinals. And we can segue that right into obviously the biggest news of the week. But before we get into that, Marquise Brown, what is his value? Because I've seen a lot of people talk about it differently, where some people are saying he's a wide receiver 3. Some people are saying he's top 12. Some people are saying he's top 20 or 24. Where do you slot him in?
Have you really seen people say he's top 12?
I have not, no. But I saw a Twitter poll. I saw a Twitter poll with the options, which did have people vote for it. I haven't seen a conscious mind actually say it, but I think he's closer to 12 than 20. I'll get into that, but I'll let you start.
I think he's closer to 20 than 12, and maybe I'm saying this because I've been burned by him more than once. I'm just totally scared of this offense without DeAndre Hopkins. And since he was just suspended for 6 games for violating the PED protocol, it's even with, Hollywood Brown is better player than Christian Kirk, but he's stepping into that role. He's taking the target share that Christian Kirk left behind and more or less the role that he left behind. And he's not going to, fill the alpha position that DeAndre Hopkins had last year and that he's going to vacate this year in those 6 games. So now that that subtraction has been made, I don't know what to do with this offense. I don't want really anything to do with this offense until that gets figured out, until they have a receiver who can dominate at the sticks and be a reliable third down option like DeAndre Hopkins can. So I will call Hollywood Brown a wide receiver 3 while DeAndre Hopkins is out, and I'll call him a top 20 receiver while DeAndre Hopkins is in. So I guess I'd project him somewhere in the 18 to 22 range.
And I haven't done my rankings yet. I will do them relatively soon, probably over the next month. But I'm expecting him to slot in around my wide receiver 15. Because this is a move that is as much a DeAndre Hopkins move, which we'll talk about the fallout in a quick second, but as much as it is a Kyler Murray move, where Kyler Murray needs another weapon. That's a fact. After they lost Christian Kirk, who, right or wrong, Christian Kirk is a good enough wide receiver, and they lost Chase Edmonds. They lost two of their better receivers. They brought back Zach Ertz. That's great, but ultimately they needed a guy. They brought back his teammate from college, a guy that they thrived, that they were both first-round picks because of each other. They both made each other better. He has the arm to get him the ball. I think this is just the type of thing. I really think Marquise Brown's going to get peppered with targets in the same way that we wanted DeAndre Hopkins good. And the scheme does not suggest that. The scheme says that they spread the ball around. That is what Arizona has done since Cliff Kingsbury took over. So this would be against the norm what I'm calling for. But I think Kyler Murray is just going to find Marquise Brown, and that's going to be enough PPR value. And I won't. I'm coming out of this from the left field, but I would not be totally shocked if DeAndre Hopkins was on a new team next year as well. If we're talking dynasty purposes as well, in terms of
I don't think so.
But I think he's a total. If he has a meddling year, maybe Marquise Brown takes a step up, and he'll probably want an extension after this. It feels like the type of thing that he could not be long for the team. It's kind of been a hit or miss relationship ever since they started. And I think that he could be a type of money casualty when that Kyler Murray bag rolls around.
Yeah. I mean, Hollywood and Kyler Murray have been good friends for a long time since they were college teammates. And that's a tough thing to bet against in the NFL. So yeah.
Yeah. And obviously there's the other side of this. Like we just talked about, obviously, DeAndre Hopkins was slapped with a 6-game PED suspension. That is noticeable for a lot of reasons. We just talked about the boost it gives to Marquise Brown. But obviously, the big thing I want to get into is one of the best sleepers in the I don't know how much he'll be a sleeper come draft day, but one of the best values come draft day probably will be Zach Wesley.
Sorry.
Antoine Wesley. No, I actually mean Andy Isabella, who's apparently being shopped. But the Zach Ertz. Zach Ertz was the tight end 6 after week 9 in points per game. And he was also tight end 6 just period. He was steady. He was great. After week 9, that was when Hopkins missed time. And then that was also in that span when Ertz was tight end 6, which is 12, it was over 12 fantasy points a game, which is very good from your tight end and very steady from Zach Ertz. Kyler Murray missed 3 of those games. He was playing with nothing, and Zach Ertz was still very productive for fantasy. That was without Hopkins, and I think that's the biggest winner from this trade. Marquise Brown, obviously a big winner, but Zach Ertz is going to be a very viable fantasy tight end for the first half of the season. Going beyond that, that's something I'll have to look deeper into. But for the first 6 games, Zach Ertz will be a start every single week, and he will be going the 8th round or later. No doubt about it.
Probably yeah, he'll later. Be a value just because of his age. And I had Zach Ertz on my fantasy team that I took over when he was on the Eagles, kind of in limbo. It kind of seemed like his career was over. And as soon as he got traded, I shipped him off for, well, I think it was like a high 3rd round rookie pick. Which was a mistake. I could have waited and gotten a mid second, maybe a mid high second for him. It's been fun to watch his value go back up as a fun player he was to watch in Philadelphia, and he's been a fun player in Arizona.
Was he a fun player? Maybe it's because I'm a Dallas Goedert truther. Was he a fun player?
I liked him a lot. He was a fun player to watch.
I remember when he was fun. It was fun when he was on that Super Bowl run and he beat that. Some team in the Super Bowl, but that was fun. That was a lot of fun. Yeah, Corey Clement. But just to relive some old good days when Tom Brady was just holding an L to a Nick Foles, but and to a Zach Ertz, you know, and a Dallas Goedert, but ring Dallas Goedert. But neither here nor there, because we're also going to go on to our final bit of news for the day. We talked about the 5th-year options that got picked up last week. We can talk about the rejects from this week. Oh, and besides these two names, Daniel Jones was also rejected, which was assumed. The team has said he's their locked-in starter, so nothing really new on that front, nothing unexpected. Josh Jacobs, on the other hand, surprised a lot of people. Were you also part of that group, Riley, that was kind of surprised by Josh Jacobs not getting his option?
I was pretty surprised, and there's been a weird cloud over Josh Jacobs, and I'm guilty of this too because I drafted him 2 years ago, it was where he was the RB8 or something like that, but did not feel like that. And he had a couple spike weeks with 3 touchdowns that saved that end of season finish, but his fantasy points per game was not very good. And his talent is just not what we thought it was when he was coming out of college. but I'm still surprised that he wasn't offered, you know, the fifth year option, especially given that Kenyon Drake is on a contract year. They have no, you know, serviceable backup. They drafted Zamir White, but I'm not sure about his ability to step into a full-time starting role in his second year, especially since he's playing behind Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake this year. The Raiders have succeeded from their running game for a while. And even though Josh Jacobs was kind of a plodding runner and his yards per carry wasn't very good, he was a pretty important part of their offense coming out of the backfield and catching passes this year. So, yeah, I am surprised they didn't pick up his fifth year.
I might have been surprised at first. The more I thought about it, it makes more sense because, A, this doesn't rule them out from extending him. This doesn't mean that he's no longer a Raider. He's got a great – a big reason why they drafted him was because of his personality, his attitude. He's a leader on that team in a way. They do like him there. I do want to note that. Excuse me. But the other thing I want to point out is that he's been under 4.1 yards per carry for the last couple of years. He didn't hit 1,000 yards last year. He's been an inefficient receiver. Passing reps has been kind of, you know, his pass protection has been beat at times. It's a big reason why Derek Carr has been spiked in the head a few times. And he just hasn't been the guy we saw his rookie year. And his rookie year was great. He was a good prospect. I like Josh Jacobs a lot, and I don't think his career is over by any means. In fact, he might be a buy for me with this Raiders team on the upswing. But it doesn't surprise me. It doesn't surprise me at all. He's a guy that I'll consider a buy as, you know, it gets a little bit murky. But running backs, as they hit free agency, gets really scary. And also running backs that were drafted in the first round had the lowest percent chance of getting their fifth-year option exercised among all the positions in the NFL. So with the exception of, you know, those kickers and punters that don't get to have that fat 0%.
People too.
Yeah, hashtag ban kicker. Shout out Jake Seeley. But sorry, Lindell Jones. But either way, I almost forgot about my own guy that I forced onto this banner. Devin Bush. Not my guy anymore, unfortunately. I do worry that he's not going to recover from that ACL properly. I think he lost some explosiveness that he's not going to get back. A lot of linebackers suffered from that. There's an article I wrote on it on IDP, guys. You can check it out. Obviously, they let go of Joe Schobert, but they brought back Miles Jack. It'll be very interesting to see how Brian Flores uses him in his first year in Pittsburgh. Devin Bush is on a contract year. If there's ever a year for him to shine, it will be this. But I'm anticipating him having a middling year, maybe streamable for IDP, but nothing I'm really going crazy about. And he'll move on elsewhere on a one-year prove a deal. We'll see where he ends up, and that will be very scheme dependent on whether Devin Bush is relevant next year. Either way, still treading downward. Nothing surprising about the fifth year getting dropped. All right, do you have something to say on Devin Bush?
What a crazy NFL year that, because you mentioned Brian Flores, like I totally forgot that happened.
Yeah.
It just got so buried in the news cycle of the crazy NFL year we've had.
I know. It was back when I was excited to see with all the Steelers moves. And honestly, if you guys did not catch by, we're going to talk about Kenny Pickett possibly on this show. But if you did not catch by live reaction to the Pittsburgh Kenny Pickett piece, I strongly suggest you check out the live stream. Zoom into around that like 2:40 mark. I was live for IDP, you guys, for the entire first round. Great show. Great work with Club Fantasy. Great show until the Steelers picked Kenny Pickett. But neither here nor there. Riley, are you ready to get into this?
Can we do mock draft, please?
No, sorry. We can only play checkers. That is what we're going to do.
Checkers. I love checkers.
You're the worst. Where do you want to pick?
Champion checkers. We are gonna. I'm gonna pick. Let's pick somewhere interesting. I'm gonna go with the 109 because A, that's the only first round pick I have in all my fantasy picks, and it's an interesting spot with some names to debate.
Fair enough. I will pick the 10. Let's go 105. I feel like 105 is a very murky area as well. I don't think a lot of people like picking there because you are worried about missing out on that top group. But we'll see who falls. And again, I have a timer. Ready. A stopwatch, if you will. Right here. Can you see it, Riley?
A stopwatch, Michael. I see a stopwatch.
You see a stopwatch. We are ready to go. You can start it up. You're going to be, obviously, you understand how this works. Riley, as the commissioner of this little mock draft, you are going to be manually selecting the picks. You go, then I go, and we'll keep going as forth. You have 60 seconds to explain your pick. Then we move on. We are hitting the 20-minute mark. Let's go. Clock's going.
All right. I'm going first. I'm going to take the craziest player of all. I'm going to take Breece Hall. I think he's running backs are highly valued in dynasty startup drafts. Breece Hall is the best running back in this class, and he got drafted to a very good spot, and he will have most of the work to himself. Is that 60 seconds?
That was 20 seconds, and it was fantastic. You do not need to use all your time. I will start mine. And this one is also as easy for me as it is for Breece Hall. Breece Hall is a fantastic number one pick. Love it. Good fit with the Jets. Not worried about Michael Carter, a fourth-round running back. But my pick will be Treylon Burks, a fantastic prospect out of Arkansas who dominated in the SEC. He did everything right. His combine came in a little bit lower than some thought, but it's still a very good number when you adjust it to his heavy weight. He's a very strong player after the catch. I love him. He's going to get peppered with targets with A.J. Brown, now an Eagle. He is going to be the number one for this team before long. It won't be Robert Woods. It will be Treylon Burks. He also is a slot guy. He's going to slide in right there. He's going to be a safety target for Ryan Tannehill, who is now fighting for his job, not mentoring Malik Willis. Treylon Burks, 102, lock it in. Your pick.
You're such a big-time Treylon Burks guy. It's
you have no idea.
It's very fun to watch, but
– It is. Not as fun as to watch him.
I'm going to take who I think is the wide receiver one in this class, Garrett Wilson. He got drafted to such a fun spot. Even as a Patriots fan, I'm excited to see what the Jets offense is going to look like. I like Zach Wilson. I really like Garrett Wilson. His ability after the catch is just so great. He's automatically the alpha of that room. And they're playing the Patriots, who have a bad secondary. So that's gonna equate for him.
Yeah, that's no arguments there. That's about what I would do. I'm going to start my timer. It's very nice that our top three are similar. I think our top four might be as well, because I am going to take Kenneth Walker out of Michigan State. Fantastic running back. Not a lot of people weren't. Oh, congrats. I'm on the clock. I forgot that doesn't matter. But I love Kenneth Walker as a runner. He's fantastic. He's been completely unproven as a receiver, and nobody should be trying to fool themselves into it otherwise. Doesn't mean he can't do it. Doesn't mean he won't do it, but he hasn't done it yet. Kenneth Walker got second-round value. He is in a little bit of a mixed room with Rashad Penny and Chris Carson, neither of which are going to be on the team next year, of which this team could be having a new quarterback, a much better team. They've drafted two offensive linemen. It's a zone running scheme, which Kenneth Walker thrived in. I love this fit long-term. I think it'll provide some fantasy relevant games this year, but more often than not, it'll be a mixed bag. 2023 and beyond, it's going to be gorgeous. Your witness.
I love Kenneth Walker, and I'm really excited about that spot for him, especially now that they're upgrading their offensive line.
Such a Pete Carroll offseason. Go on.
It is such Pete Carroll offseason. I'm going to go with Drake London next, the wide receiver who was drafted first in the NFL draft at number 8 to the Falcons. I believe in Arthur Smith. I think the team that they're building is so interesting with Drake London, Kyle Pitts. They have a dynamic quarterback in Marcus Mariota, meaning that he can do a couple different things. He can throw on the run. He can run himself. There are a lot of different things they can do in that offense now. Drake London provides the deep shot that the deep threat that he is with his contested catchability. Kyle Pitts can do basically everything, and they have a versatile quarterback.
Fair enough. I would not be taking – I'm going to use the last 15 seconds to say I would not take Drake London here. I like two other guys ahead of him, and I am still not sold on the talent. I love the draft investment, but I get the pick. He was used – it was picked very highly. The hit rate is good for those guys with that size in the top 10. So, on to my pick. Clock going. This is such a hard pick for me. Between Chris Olave and Jameson Williams, I think they are both fantastic, who went to great spots, who are both got great investment. Love the talent, and I had Chris Olave higher pre-draft. They were neck and neck there as well. I'm going to take Jameson Williams here, a guy that is electrifying in every part of the field. I think he's a talent that Detroit has not had in a very long time. I'm not worried about the ACL. I think he's just really good. I think he's a really good route runner. I think he's got amazing speed that they won't be able to cover that. It's just not something they could do with. And I think both guys are going to struggle in 2022. And then going to pop off in 2023, bet with a new quarterback, definitely Detroit. And if it's still Jameson the Saints, that's not good. But I I love both those guys. I have no problems with if you take either. It's really personal preference. I'll take Jameson Williams right now.
Yeah, both those guys got traded up for, taken in the first 13 picks. And Jameson Williams just has explosiveness that Chris Olave does not, even though I love Chris Olave. And that's why I'm going to take him with his pick. Just one of the best route runners in this class. He was super productive all throughout college, even with C.J. Stroud at quarterback in the first half of the year before he really came into his own. He was still a really good player. Chris Olave has just been productive for a long time, and he is worth it.
Yeah, no, can't argue with that. You're being very efficient with your time, Riley. It is very impressive, I'll tell you that, because I am up. And again, I think I kind of need some time here to think this one out. Yeah, because I find myself at multiple tier breaks, both before with Chris Olave, Jameson Williams, two guys I like very much, and now I have a total tier drop and the start of a new tier. But I've already used 15 seconds, Riley. I'm on the clock. I got to make a decision. I'm going to go with George Pickens. I released some a little short list of Twitter rankings. This is a big spot to trade out for, by the way, right now before your draft start, if your draft hasn't started, because people are not realizing yet. But this is a big tier drop from Chris Olave, Jameson Williams to George Pickens. That said, I like George Pickens a lot. I had him as a top 5-6 prospect before the draft and as of a wide receiver. Great landing spot into Pittsburgh. Long term, it'll be a great if he's going to work out. He has such a high ceiling. He could be a wide receiver one. He will work on the outside. Chase Claypool may not be long for this team. He will be great in 2023 and beyond. But again, it will take a year.
Yeah, for sure. I like George Pickens. I'm going to move on to this pick, which is where I'm picking in my one dynasty league that I have a first round pick. And I really am lost. I have a guy who I would take right now if my actual draft started, but it comes down to Sky Moore and Christian Watson for me. They both ended up in really good spots with top tier quarterbacks. I will just take the guy who I believe is a better player and didn't go to North Dakota State University. So I'm going to take Sky Moore. I think he's just a better player. He's better in space. He's more agile and shifty, and I think that works really well in the Andy Reid offense.
Yeah, no debate there. That is who I would have taken by far. I think George Pickens and Sky Moore has been keeping me up at night trying to figure out who to take. So I think it's a no-brainer pick at the back end of the first round right now. Now, this is also a very tough spot for me. I do not like Christian Watson, so I'll make your next pick easy because I'm not going to take Christian Watson here. I'm not going to tilt into landing spot. We've seen wide receivers be drafted for the Packers that don't work out. I don't think Christian Watson is that guy. I think he only broke out because he was bigger and stronger than people in college. That doesn't always translate, and he was kind of a one-year wonder. So I will be taking a guy who has the best catch radius in this class, and he's not even that big. I'll take Jahan Dotson out of Penn State, who got first-round capital, which some people were projecting. I wasn't, but I was not surprised at all when Washington took him to pair with Terry McLaurin. It might be spotty production this year because of Carson Wentz, but the Terry McLaurin contract situation is a little bit murky. He is going to walk into a wide receiver two spot for that team. He's a very talented player. He's the best talent on the board for me, and therefore I'm going to follow that.
Yeah, I mean that's fair. The landing spot just really scares me. I don't believe that they can go and get a quarterback, and we've seen what happens with Terry McLaurin, who's just a super good talent, and he hasn't really produced for fantasy like we believe he can. So I will kind of stay away from Jahan Dotson for now, and I'll move on to my next pick with the guy I said I was considering at 109, and that's Christian Watson. I mean, the reason he's here is because he had such an outstanding combine, which he did. He was running in the 4.3s as a guy who's, 6'2", isn't he? I mean, it's
at least.
Oh, he's 6'5". He's listed as 6'5", 200 sleeper.
Yeah. We did whole profiles on these guys. Everyone remembers that. Like, we know that. Don't worry.
Yeah. And he still got pretty good draft capital at 34th overall, just inside the second round. And he's playing with Aaron Rodgers, who is the best quarterback in football right now.
No arguments there. I like that very much. I have my clock going. And to round out this first round, again, to speak to how this year's class is, again, trade out, because none of these guys should be first rounders. But I will take a guy that I'm not going to tilt on landing spot. He's not the guy who's on the top of the board. I'm going to take Rashad White, a guy who moved very quickly off my board, a guy that I like quite a lot, who landed in a good spot in Tampa, not maybe not Buffalo landing spot with James Cook, and maybe not, you know, top of the second round type of investment with James Cook. But Rashad White, I think, is a better player. He walked into a backup job with a team that isn't Bruce Arians anymore. So it's not the most unpredictable running back type of pull you're done for the year situation. I think Rashad White is a good player. And I think Leonard Fournette has been nicked up in the past. He did get extended, but running backs, you know, on second contracts, the production's always a little bit murky. So I like Rashad White a lot. I think he landed with a great offensive line and a good system. Easy pick for me there.
Yeah, I knew you were going to take him there, and I really like the landing spot. It's a really interesting place for him. And I'm going to take a guy who I was really low on in the pre-draft process because I didn't think he had the traits to be a super good NFL player. I didn't really like his contact balance, but his speed is there, his route running is there, and given his landing spot at the Buffalo Bills, it's a really interesting fit. So I'm going to take James Cook. He's far and away going to be the receiving back of that team probably right away. Since Zach Moss is pretty much checked out and Devin Singletary was never really a third down back to begin with. So I will trust what I saw, that James Cook is a really explosive player with some tantalizing traits. I'm a little worried about you know, his ability to be an early down guy, but I think he'll have a really solid role as a third down back, catching passes from one of the best quarterbacks in the football.
Yeah, I like that. It's tough. And now all of a sudden, this 60 seconds is going to be really tough because I am no longer interested in this draft very much. So top of the second round, a lot of names to consider. I don't really know who I'm going to take here. I have to think about it harder. But, you know, when I think about it, I'm going to go with my board. I'm going to trust what I thought. I'm going to go – oh, wow. This is such a terrible tier. I will take Tyler Allgeier, who landed in Atlanta. He did get day three capital. I hate day three capital. It's something I do genuinely worry about. But I think Tyler Allgeier is a very good player who fits in perfectly for what this offense needs, and that's a first, second down runner with third down possibility. He caught a lot of passes in college. Obviously, they will ask Cordarrelle Patterson to do that, but Cordarrelle Patterson's up there in age. He's not the future of this team by any means. Tyler Allgeier does have a chance to cement himself as the future. It might be a sell next year given his the team's investment in him. But I like Tyler Allgeier a lot as a talent. He has a great opportunity with Atlanta, who released Mike Davis. Tyler Allgeier, 202.
Yeah, that's an interesting pick. I mean, if he were listed here in ADP, this is where I would take him. People are going to call it a reach, but I guess I agree with you. I think I would take this guy that I'm about to take first, and that's Isaiah Spiller, who I think is I think he's a better running back. He's been more productive in college for a long time. He was drafted to a really good spot. Austin Eckler is a super good player. I love him a lot, but he had some injury history in the past, and we see what he can do when he stays healthy. But, you know, that's kind of a question mark going forward. And Isaiah Spiller is just interesting.
Interesting, to say the least. I have no problem with it because I do agree that that backup job in Los Angeles has been open for far too long.
As far as I'm concerned.
He should walk into it. I don't really see how he doesn't, but there's still free agent running backs out there. Devontae Booker end up there. I would probably slot Devontae Booker there, but I can't just throw that out like it's going to happen. So I am on the clock. Again, not in love with this tier whatsoever, but I will go with a guy that is a receiver. Because again, this is the point where I am pretty out on these running backs. There's one name I'm considering. I might take him with my next pick, but I'm not going to take him here over some of the wide receivers available. I like this guy quite a lot in the draft. And you know this. I did a draft profile for IDP, guys. Check it out. Get a subscription. Read it. Alec Pierce got second-round investment, and he might be a better real-life player than he ends up being a fantasy player, but I'm going to take the chance that he is exactly what I think he is, which is a really strong outside threat that can beat you downfield. I don't know if Matt Ryan's as done as he looked last year, and even if he's not, you know, they're going to add someone. They will find someone next year. And Alec Pierce is there for the long run. I think he'll work fantastic on the other side of Michael Pittman. I think he's a really good player who got good draft capital, therefore a good leash, good career. T.Y. Hilton is not on the team. He should walk into a very strong role, even for a run-first team.
Yeah, the second round investment is really interesting for him because he's on a contract that will keep him relevant for quite some time, even if A, he doesn't pan out, or B, the quarterback situation in Indy doesn't get any better, which, as you mentioned, I really think it will. Yeah, so that's a good spot for him. And it was between Spiller and Pierce at that pick.
Interesting.
Yeah, let's look at this. Let's see. Let's read
let's
all
look
these.
At this. You got 40 seconds.
Oh, God. I guess I'll take this guy. Yeah,
I'll
this take
is this
the
guy. Middle of the second round. Not to take your time up.
I'm going to take John Mechie. I've mentioned it on the show many times, but the fact that John Mechie stayed on the field at Alabama alongside Devontae Smith and Jalen Waddle a couple years ago speaks to his talent, and injuries kind of slowed him down. Bryce Young early in his career, even though he won the Heisman and he was a good player, he still had to learn the offense, and that was kind of an Achilles heel for him. But I really like his tape, and I think that he landed in a pretty good spot with second-round capital. I think they'll continue to build that offense. Whether if Davis Mills isn't the guy, that they same thing with the Colts, they will go and get someone next year.
Went a little bit over 1 minute there. That's a little bit embarrassing. First time we did that. No, that's a rip for you. Okay, I have a excuse for this pick, and you might want to beat me up for this, but I blame you because you set it up. I will take Kenny Pickett here, who is not eligible to be drafted because I don't think you included quarterbacks. You just have flexes.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I do just have flexes.
You do. I don't. Would you have taken Kenny Pickett earlier?
No.
This is where I would take Kenny Pickett. I'm not a Kenny Pickett guy. I think he has two small hands. I don't think he's going to be great with an NFL football. He fumbled in college. I don't think he has a good enough arm. He broke out his last year at Pittsburgh. But I could be wrong. He got first-round investment. He's a good, he will be the first future of this quarter, this franchise. He will start for this team. And at this point, I'm not in love with any of the guys here. So I'll take the guy that has a chance to show me something, a guy that will have a better sell high. Thank you for taking. What is that? Who is that?
This is Garrett Walston. He's going to be our placeholder for now.
Okay. I will take Garrett Walston, the Kenny Pickett lookalike.
Good pick. Yeah, he was a 49ers undrafted free agent. Garrett Walston was, so good for him. Landed in a good spot. Great play caller and Kyle Shanahan. All right, let's move on. I think I want to take – man. All right, I'm going to take – oh, wow, he's buried in – he's low in ADP. I'm going to take Zamir White.
Interesting.
Yeah, he ended up in a spot where, as we talked about before, Josh Jacobs and Kenyon Drake are currently on contract years. I think I think Josh Jacobs gets extended. I think they just don't want to pay the franchise tag price for him. I don't think they will have to pay that much for him. I thought Zamir White was a really cool player to watch at Georgia. He had decent draft capital. I think it was fourth round. It's fine for a player of his caliber, especially given how running backs were coming off the board this year. I think he's a good player. He's a good between the tackles runner, and that's what Vegas likes to do.
Fair enough. And now I am deciding between two names here. I have to restart the clock. I'm deciding between two names here. It is really, really three or really four, but I'm strongly considering two. So I'm hoping one of them gets back to me. I will take. See, now this is I'm close to making a Trey Sermon pick, but I refuse to. I'm going to take David Bell here, a guy that did not test well athletically. That's why he slipped. That's why people are worried about him. But he got draft investment. He was a third-round pick. Correct me if I'm wrong, right? He got day two capital. That Browns room is open. The Jarvis Landry role, the Athletic did comp him to Jarvis Landry in a way. And the way that he's not the most athletic, he's not going to be explosive. He's not going to destroy you at any point in the game. But he can be a good possession receiver. The depth chart's open. He got capital. Deshaun Watson's there, and he can make him look much better than he actually is. They could still add Will Fuller, and I wouldn't be surprised. But David Bell was a highly touted prospect for a reason. Athletically, did not test well. But back the second round, I will be taking that chance.
I think I have a pick locked in here. A second-round wide receiver that's still on the board ended up in a spot that will certainly have a new quarterback next year. One that they will probably have to draft pretty early on. I'm going to take Wandale Robinson, who was, kind of a fun, kind of gadget type player. He's a small guy, 5'11", 185 he's listed at. But he played at Kentucky. He was fun to watch, and you know he's good in space, even though he's you know a little bit of a smaller guy, which is a red flag that Mike and I are you know are pretty made pretty wary of. 209 is a good price to pay for him.
I get it. He's pretty much off my board because I do worry about his. All of his production came on screens, and for small guys that do that, that really does freak me out. Even though he was very productive at Kentucky. I get it, though, because this class, second round, it's a second round wide receiver. I get taking a chance. I hope you take Velus Jones next. So I am on the clock. This is my second to last pick. Raleigh is his last pick of the second round, and then we'll wrap up right there. But I will not be swayed by a landing spot. I will stick to what I think, and I'm going to take – oh, wow. Oh, man, I might be swayed by a landing spot. No, I won't be. I'm strongly considering Damian Pierce because of that landing spot, day two capital with Houston, which is a wide open room, could be wide running back one. I don't know how much that matters. I've wasted 35 of my seconds. I will take Jalen Tolbert. No, I will not take Jalen. Oh, it's too late.
The clock beat
okay.
you. The clock
Hopefully, beat he gets back to yeah. me. I would have probably taken with the last pick. I have 10 seconds to talk about Jalen Tolbert, who got second round capital, dominated at Southern Alabama. A bigger guy that gives this offense something they don't necessarily have. I think he can do other things than what CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup can do. Good landing spot. Go on.
The landing spot and the draft capital are interesting here. And you're out of time, so I'm moving on. Now, here's a guy that has fallen further than I think he would, even though I'm still kind of scared of him because of his landing spot. I'll take Brian Robinson. I liked his ability and his production at Alabama. He was a decent receiving back, even though that will not be his role on this team since they signed J.D. McKissic and since Antonio Gibson is still in that room. But we'll see what happens with Antonio Gibson's kind of injury history. He's a little bit scary at the moment. J.D. McKissic is past his prime, and he's pretty much been relegated to a receiving-only role. So in the event that Antonio Gibson can't stay on the field, I think Brian Robinson could be a serviceable backup in the meantime.
You want to hear something funny?
What's that?
You forgot to give me Jalen Tolbert.
I did a whole double take.
I was like, I said it was your second to last pick. Or I said it was your last pick, and then all of a sudden it wasn't. But okay, you know, nice job. You still have the time, so you didn't waste anything.
There you go. Look at that.
Okay. So we're gonna just throw out a couple of names after I make this pick, the last pick of the second round. We're not gonna obviously go through third and fourth, but I'm just gonna speak it out. It's either Damian Pierce or Trey McBride. I think they both got great landing spots. Trey McBride, I think, is a decent prospect, and I'm gonna take Trey McBride, a much better player than Damian Pierce. He's not gonna break out this year. He's not gonna do anything this year, but he could be something next year, and he'll definitely. I think he's a real target for a third-year breakout. A guy that I do want in my practice squad, and I want more of him than I don't. Now I'm going to take a second and throw out some names that I'll be looking at the third round. Damian Pierce, I think, will be off the board by then. I'm going to turn off this clock. Let's run this through quick. Damian Pierce, I think, will be off the board by then. Someone will read based on opportunity. I didn't see amazing things on film. I thought it was all right. And obviously, he didn't get the workload at Florida, and he didn't get anything at Florida. It was really limited, and I didn't really like that much. But he's a name to watch for, given landing spot, and if you do want tilt that much. And the other name I will throw out, none of these guys. But
Khalil Shakir. He's an interesting player who made some highlight reel catches and ended up in a really good spot. I think he was a fifth or sixth round pick. But he might sneak into the back of the second round for me. Someone not me might take Tyquan Thornton just based on his draft capital. I certainly won't, but he's a name that might, you know, go in the end of second round, That's probably it, right?
Yeah. I'm gonna throw one name just because we didn't talk about him before the draft. He was kind of a surprise pick. Danny Gray out of SMU got drafted in the third round. He was a third round pick to the 49ers, who have a murky situation with Debo. Brandon Ayuk is not an assured place, and there really isn't a third wide receiver that's guaranteed anything. Not saying that's a valuable role, but we have Trey Lance coming in. You know, we've seen this before where new starters all of a sudden, you know, this is a fresh start for Trey Lance. Maybe he has a connection with Danny Gray, who got third round connection. I've heard good things out of him. I don't want to speak on something I don't have 100% knowledge of, but he did get offers to play in the SEC and the Big 12, but then he decided for SMU, dominated SMU. But, you know, a smaller school prospect, so hit or miss, but got the capital. Murky situation in San Francisco, which produces fantasy. I do have some interest. I'll be diving into him a little bit more at some point. But that is our show. An amazing first two rounds, if I say so myself, Riley. I think I did even better than you, even. You know, I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm sure you agree.
Yeah.
God, every time you start the show cold and then you end it cold somehow. Normally, I'm all hot bothered out here, but you're not. You're just flinging a microphone. Either way, thank you, everyone, for tuning in. You can follow me at Michael_Sicoli. You can follow Riley at Riley_Millette. And, of course, I'd be extremely remiss if I didn't mention, for frequency's sake, where you're hosting this right now, and shout out to them, at FFSQC on Twitter. Definitely check them out. Some amazing shows. One will be starting right after this, I believe. So check them out, and as well as IDP Guys at IDP Guys on Twitter for all your offensive and defensive needs, fantasy wise, whatever you want. Rookie Mag is just about to go out. If it hasn't yet, I'm pretty sure it's about to. And order that, because there are draft profiles on everyone, including landing spot updates afterwards in the draft. There's everything you can want anywhere before the draft, so you don't tell on landing spots. You know who they are. You're not going to sound dumb to your friends. You're going to be the smart one. You're going to be able to say things that they don't understand. People don't know who Romeo Doubs is? You can tell. You can tell. And then there's like 7,000 defensive players that I don't even know very well, but a million other guys that are even smarter than me, they took the time. Check it out. Order that. Follow the IDP Guys. Follow FFSQC. Follow Riley. Follow me. This has been From College to Combine. Thank you, everyone, for tuning in. Good night.